This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime, you know, socially. Go ahead, kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Happy Monday. A lot in the first hour was talked about, debated, settled. And so if you miss any of the hours, you can catch it, of course, wherever you get your podcast or at 1080thefan.com. We've got the wonderful Bill Oram in today. For Dirt, he's hanging out with us, columnist for the Oregonian. OregonLive.com is where you can find all his great work. He's got really good work and pieces up there right now that you can check out. Go to OregonLive.com. We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. We'll get back into the Oregon State baseball thing. Poll question is up at Dirt and Sprague, the show account. Were you good at bunting when you played baseball? Yes or no? You can vote there. We will talk with Nick Krupke exactly an hour from right now of Fox 12. He was another award winner of Oregon's Media Man of the Year. Very deserving recipient of that, by the way. But we'll talk with him about what's going on down in Corvallis and just his general thoughts of winning awards and being recognized for doing a kick-ass job. So the Daily Ticker will get moved to 8 o'clock. The NBA Finals, we briefly touched on that in the first hour. It is set. It is Pacers-Thunder. It is a thrilling NBA Finals. In all seriousness, I actually think it's the best possible matchup we could have gotten from all the teams. I just think the matchup's good. I like the Thunder in 6. I'll just get that prediction out now. I think everybody's saying Thunder in 5 and 4. Could very well be right. Totally get why people do it, but I'll take value. I think the Pacers can definitely win a couple games against this Thunder team. I wanted to start the second hour, though, with a segment I call Oram's Orbit. Something going on in the orbit of one Bill Oram, who is a columnist and does a great job and has since he got the gig. You struck something very interesting with a buddy of yours, and there's a piece at The Ringer that's kind of touching on this, too, with you, with your friend Howard Beck, a good friend of the program, about team building and kind of what this Pacers team should teach the teams of the NBA like Portland. Now, they are in the West, and so that's tougher. But team building and the kind of the takeaway from seeing an Indiana get to a finals.
Yeah, it's just interesting when you look at how the Pacers were built. And like we can talk about the Paul George piece of it, but the Pacers never really tanked. They had some teams that weren't very good, but they never tanked. And when you they made the deal for Sabonis, they swapped Sabonis for Tyrese Halliburton. They go make the move for Siakam. When they got Siakam, did you think titles? Or title contender? This is a finals team?
I didn't think title contender, but to be fair, when they got Siakam, I was jealous that they took a swing.
Sure, sure.
It's swing. No matter how we thought the swing was going to go, It's a swing.
You're going all in. It's not an all in move. It's a big swing.
See, though, I think that is an all in move for them, because if that fails, if Siakam and them don't get to a finals or an Eastern Conference final, like they started the season 10-15, right? At 10-15, did we think the Pacers were going to the finals? And they had to extend him too.
Yep.
That was part of that was the wink and the nod. That was the Jeremy Grant deal. It was like, hey, we're trading all this stuff for you. You are going to get the bag from us, and he was willing to do that to play in Indiana, which. That's how smaller market teams get free agents.
Have to do it.
That's their term of free agency. Yeah. It's like, hey, we trade a lot of stuff. We give you the big contract.
But the thing with Indiana is, if you look at their roster, and because when we talk, so with the Blazers, the thing that I've been harping on and the drum I've been beating is the Blazers still need like their center of gravity. They need a number one option. They need a star player.
Well, they have one according to them.
In which Shane Sharp. Danny Avdija.
Well, they didn't specify who. Just Chauncey said we might have.
We might have that.
He might already be on the team.
I don't believe they have that guy. I don't think that.
I don't think Chauncey believes that either.
Chauncey just got paid very nicely to believe that. So they're still looking for that player. But like we sit around and we debate this all the time. Like, who's out there? Who could be that guy? For a while, it was like, oh, Zion Williamson. Like, he could be available. You make that trade. I think Zion Williamson is now very much a stay away.
Yeah.
But you start kicking around names around the league. Who could that guy be? Who could that guy be? And you look at the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think there was a player in the Eastern Conference Finals who, at the start of last season, we would have said could have been that like go all in for player. I don't think it would have been Tyrese Halliburton. I think you would have said you can have Tyrese Halliburton, but then what do you have? Jalen Brunson, but then what do you have? And so those teams both
prior
have,
to his New York arrival, or
I'd say
going
prior
into the year?
Prior to this year,
okay.
Like Brunson's been really, really good.
I think he proved a lot of people wrong the first year in New York.
Would you have wanted to build a team around him? I don't know if I still want to build a team around him, frankly. But like,
well, Dame is better. Like Dame at his peak is better than Brunson, but
very
like
similar.
It's not that massive of a gap in terms of like when they're at their high end top. And so, like, I'd probably say yes just because we saw them build with Dame.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't go all in the way some of these teams have.
Yeah.
But to your point, largely, you wouldn't look at Halliburton, and whether he was a King or a Pacer, and I think at any one point said, that's the leader
of a
potential title team.
And I think that's what this has done, is it's sort of recalibrated what you need to get to the finals. Not that you don't need great players. You do. You do need all-stars. I mean, the Pacers have two-plus all-stars. I mean, has Miles Turner been an all-star? I think he's got an all-star game under his belt.
I don't know if he's been an all-star, but he had two all-NBA guys in Siakam and Halliburton.
Two-plus all-star caliber players, but not a top-10 player. Maybe not a top... I mean, Halliburton's a top-20 player at this point. But I think that is where we're seeing depth is the much more important piece of roster building. Like, super teams are essentially dead. You know, the Lakers, you know, have tried it. You know, they got through once. You know, we'll see what happens with Doncic going forward. But the idea of putting all your eggs on two or three guys and then filling it out with minimums doesn't really work. Mm. I don't think we're going to see those teams win. You know, the Thunder are going to get expensive at some point, but that team has depth 1 through 10. We were talking about the 2000 Blazers. There's a lot more teams that resemble the 2000 Blazers right now than resemble the 2000 Lakers.
It's tough. The super team model, by the way, you know what's funny about this is how close a Denver was to not giving us this finals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jokic is so good
that
if he has maybe a healthier Aaron Gordon in Game 7... he gets a little more production and Russ doesn't turn back into the pumpkin, we could be sitting here going, hey, man, it's nice to have the best player in basketball, isn't it? Like, that, it's the thinnest of margins between, I think what you're saying and how people are viewing this is accurate, but how close that margin is between it going back to saying, who has the best player? They're going to get there. It is that thin. I think not only is your point accurate, and I'm not mad at having depth. I think Portland's got depth pieces. I just don't think they're very deep. I don't think they're as good as they think that they are internally.
I don't want to overstate this, but they probably have like three or four rotation players on a championship level team right now.
You think they have four?
I'm trying to think. Like, I think so. Avdija, Kamara would be rotation, high level rotation players. I think Shaden Sharp.
Does Kamara play for the Thunder if he's on this current team? If you took
if this current Thunder
Wallace off and you put Tamani Kamara in, how many minutes a game is he getting?
I I would have to go through their depth chart of exactly how you're getting him on the floor, but you're getting him on the floor.
I agree with that. Yeah, I want, like, when you say high level depth pieces, I'm thinking 30 minutes. 27 minutes?
I mean, 27 minutes is a lot of floor time.
Yeah, it is a lot of floor time. Well, that's what I think when I think high-level depth pieces,
sure.
Right? Like, those guys that really matter for them. The funniest thing I think about all of this is where Portland is and all that stuff, and I know we don't need to tie everything here locally. Looking at the Pacers and the Thunder, the funniest part about the Pacers and the Thunder, you could use them too. Last year, the Thunder lose in the second round. And I remember having a debate with Swag of, like, how aggressive they should be. Should they trade a Jalen Williams? Should they trade a Chet Holmgren? And I'm like, they're young. Run it back. Like, we have what the league lost largely for a long time was the inability to allow chemistry and team building to exist. And what I mean by that is, how many teams in our lifetime did we watch go through the crap? And just to give you an example of a team that didn't win a title but got to build and figure it out year in and year out was Utah, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Stockton Malone were a tandem for years, mm-hmm. and they came up short every time, and they got close at the end in the 90s, but they couldn't quite get over that Michael hump. We didn't have that anymore. It's like, if you don't win in 2 years, blow up, well,
so
rebuild.
I think what you're talking about is really important is patience.
Patience
from the very, very top. Because one, and you mentioned the Howard Beck piece that I recommend about team building. There's a quote from Todd Ramisar, who used to be who is an agent mm-hmm. in the NBA, talking about how you have this new wave of owners coming in who all want the instant gratification of, you know, I want to go all in on a superstar and I want to win a championship next year.
They want to make their mark and they want to win the title.
And that's not how it works.
No.
And so what you've seen in Indiana is Herb Simon, the owner there, has been extremely patient, has been willing to sort of be good 1 year and a little bit better the next year and a little bit better the next year and hopefully break through. What you're seeing in Utah is, like, right now, like, a very painful level of patience with being bad and tanking. But the question is, can an owner tolerate that until you eventually break through? Because otherwise, like, you'll see the Jazz make a trade to become a 41-win team, or you'll see the Blazers. This is what's going to be really interesting with ownership with the Blazers. Does a new owner come in and say, I'm fine with us being on a three, four year, you know, on ramp, as opposed to, okay, I'm here now, I want to win, so start making trades so we can get to 45 wins and be competitive. Because if you try to short circuit that process, it almost never works.
The funny thing I've just observed from both these teams is, coincidentally, they've taken a bit of a Neil O'Shea approach,
mm-hmm.
and that is, it's nice to be good. It matters to be good. You don't want to suck, and you don't want to suck for too long. Mm-hmm. But also, not every year are you going to be a title contender. That's mm-hmm. just not realistic, especially when you're in a market like Portland. And so, Neil's teams at the top end, they made the West Finals, but, like, didn't win a game.
Right.
And so, largely a second to first round type roster. Yep. He never made that one. He didn't make the Siakam move.
Yeah.
And so far, I would say Cronin hasn't made the Siakam move. He's had opportunities to be the Knicks, and he didn't want to take them. He didn't want Bridges. He didn't want OG Anunoby. You didn't make no effort to go get a Pascal. Like, there were moves to be made that they internally never thought was worth giving up pieces for. And so far, that's netted them Klingon, Shaden, Scoot. And I don't know if those pieces lead a team to the top end of the West. But what's funny is I see these teams and I think of Neil, actually. Neil knew it was better to be good and in a conversation than to not be at all relevant to people. Now, he could have been more aggressive and maybe taken a step further.
Yeah.
And that's what's funny about Indiana is they're being led by the former regime.
That's what I was going to say is, like, if it seems familiar, it's because it's Kevin Pritchard and Chad Buchanan who've built that roster and have had the trust of ownership.
Yep.
Like, that's where there's, like, when you have that alignment. And, you know, the Blazers would tell you that they have it now because Joe and Chauncey, you know, are on the same page, supposedly. But ownership's a mystery. We don't know who's going to be owning this team a year from now. But, you know, when you have that true alignment, ownership all the way down through the coaching staff, that's when you see teams, like, build over time. And, like, that's what is going to eventually lead to, you know, sustained success.
How did we get here? We'll walk through that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Bill Orme hanging out with us here, Dirt and Sprague, on this beautiful Monday. Happy June, everybody. May went right by. It's June now. June 2nd. Yeah, that's what I think of June, too. It's almost full-time daycare day. It's a little depressing, actually. You know, as a parent, they don't talk about that. The parent that might have a different shift or is on parent duty during the day. You don't got daycare. Those summer days can, they can be a bit of a drag at different points. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the NBA Finals, okay? As Orem and I are talking about the Blazers roster, I think we agree and we disagree in a lot of ways. And so as the offseason continues to go on, because according to Shams, and we'll get to that, might be a very busy summer, but Portland is largely looked at as, hey, could they be the third team in a trade?
Yeah.
When you look at Indiana and Oklahoma City, how we got here, so everybody today, and they started it yesterday on SportsCenter, they're calling this the Paul George Finals for obvious reasons, right? He was a Pacer. He got close. He pushed LeBron in the heatles. Couldn't do it. Lost. Okay. Came up short. They eventually move on. And so they end up trading him to Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City, you know, you look back at that trade, and they get Paul George to team up with Russ because they lose Kevin Durant in free agency. And the Pacers ended up getting Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. Now, Sabonis, the better player of the two, but I do want to note, like, to be fair, Oladipo got there, and he earned in his first year third-team All-NBA, first-team mm-hmm. All-Defense.
He's an All-Star, yeah.
So that was, like, instantly great production. Sabonis, who is just coming into his second pro season, he didn't get a lot of minutes in OKC. He ended up proving to be an All-Star player as well. So that, in the moment, it looked kind of like a win-win. And it was like, hey, how about the Pacers, huh? They got two guys. They gave up Paul George. Hey, how about the Thunder? Paul George's best year of his career? Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, I think they beat Portland the year that Dame knocked him out. I think they beat Portland if his shoulders are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that series, he ended up having a really good run. On the Indiana side, they didn't want to settle, so they looked at Sabonis and they said, okay, you're good, but you're limited. The Oladipo thing didn't work because of injury. Sacramento says, hey, we've got this young point guard. We already have another point guard. We don't want to play two point guards. Whoopsie-daisy, we're going to trade Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. In Indiana, in return, sends DeMontis Sabonis, Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, and a 2023 second-round pick. And look how that's turned out. The funny thing is, Windhorse reported that Sacramento is coincidentally in the market for what? A point guard. They just traded one, and they traded Halliburton.
Yep.
Talk about just completely roster mismanagement. Sacramento's been doing that for years. And so you look at how all this is going, and then Oklahoma City blows it up because Russ and Paul George are waved bye-bye by Damian Lillard, and they end up trading Paul George to the Clippers. And boy, that return was great. They got SGA. They got Gallinari. They got Miami's 2021 unprotected first-round pick, the Clippers' 2022 unprotected first-rounder, their 2024 unprotected first-rounder, the Heat's lottery-protected 2025 first-rounder, swap rights with the Clippers' 25 first-rounder, and the Clippers' 2026 unprotected first-rounder. One of those picks became Jalen Williams. So how did we get here? Paul George is the centerpiece of it all, but also brilliant flipping of chips after getting said chips.
Yeah. I mean, the Thunder have done an unbelievable job when you look at the way Sam Presti has managed those assets and has always been able to bring back picks and players for the players that are going out the door.
You know, with,
whether it was Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Paul George. I mean, he's just done a masterful job of collecting those assets, and we talk about it all the time, you know, in terms of, you know, just basically outsmarting the rest of the league. But the thing about the Paul George thing is it was such an intense overpay by the Clippers to the Thunder. But for where the Clippers were and what it got them, which was Kawhi Leonard as well, there was almost no price that would have been too much. Because if you're the Clippers and you're talking about bringing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and actually trying to actually break through the, you know, the glass ceiling and actually get to a final, they hadn't even been to a Western Conference Finals yet, there probably was no price that was high enough that they wouldn't have paid. So, you know, all was it five firsts plus SGA, mm-hmm. a future MVP,
and a couple other players. Yeah.
For them, that was probably that was worth it. I don't think anybody with the Clippers is even looking back on it and saying that was a mistake and that was an overpay. That was their all-in move.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it never paid off. Kawhi's never been, you know, full-time healthy. PG's had his issues. And I mean, for the Thunder, I mean, just taking the emotion out of a lot of this, right? Like, it's not personal, it's business. And not being afraid to take those big swings kind of in reverse, where it's like, we're not afraid to trade a player away to be able to, like, create a 10-year runway here. And this is now when it's paying off.
You were in L.A. when that trade happened?
I was. And not only was I in L.A. when that trade happened, I was in L.A. the year before when Paul George was a free agent. And the Lakers had not yet signed LeBron. It was the summer of 2018. And everyone thought it was fait accompli that Paul George was coming to the Lakers.
That's
like,
right.
That entire season.
Yep.
That he was going to play 1 year in OKC, and then he was going to sign with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the Lakers had been horrible. They'd missed out on every free agent every single summer.
Their draft picks weren't hitting.
Like, LaMarcus Aldridge had basically punked them. You know, KD didn't take a meeting. Melo signed with the Knicks, mm-hmm. or re-signed with the Knicks rather than coming to LA. Like, all of that. So, like, the Lakers couldn't get a free agency win. And everybody thought Paul George was coming. And I remember being at a gym at UCLA when the Thunder were playing the Lakers that night at shoot-around. And somebody asked Russ, you know, about keeping Paul in OKC. And Russ goes, we're going to win a championship. How's that for a, you know, like, you know, for a sales pitch, basically. Didn't work out that way, but did keep. And I remember
the concert they announced it?
I was going to say, like, they had like a backyard concert where Paul George came out and announced it. So that to me was the bigger shock, was that when Paul re-signed in LA, or excuse me, in OKC, the trade, I was in Vegas because it was Summer League. And we were all kind of on Kawhi watch because the Lakers were ostensibly trying to get in on the Kawhi sweepstakes. And all of a sudden, the PG deal happens, and you realize it's a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it wasn't as seismic as the Luka and AD trade, and I grant that. But when people talk about, like, the most shocking trades of the modern era, Paul George to the Clippers is right way up there in terms of, like, out of nowhere, mind-blowing, changing the balance of power in the league.
I had a buddy of mine who, he was a little bummed by the Knicks result. He wanted to see the Knicks in the finals more than the Pacers. And he's like, are you even interested? And I'm like, dude.
You're friends with Spike Lee?
I am friends. Well, no, it's Timothée Chalamet, man. Come on, like, we're best friends. But I just was like, I think this is going to be a good finals. And I already said this on the show, so I'll say one more. I don't care about the ratings. I'm not going to talk about the ratings. I like basketball. I think this is a fun matchup. I think you got two interesting things here. You've got, never in your lifetime, my lifetime, Ortner's lifetime, or any real listener's lifetime, have you had a team this young break through this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you got to suffer that, you know, that traditional NBA heartbreak. You got to get beat by a couple teams a couple times. And, man, oh, they finally broke through. That did not happen to them. They got in here 1 year. They were the one seed. They lost in the second round. People instantly said, blow some of this up. They didn't. They said, no, let's build it back. They're young. They're 23, 24, 25, 26. SGA's the elder statesman of the team. They run it back. He has an MVP season. They're in the finals. They are 4 wins away. 84 wins could have in a season from winning their first franchise championship. I'm not counting that Sonics title. I never will. That's their first franchise title. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. This is unprecedented. We have never seen this happen in league history. And on the other side of this, you mean to tell me at the end of this basketball season, I might see the Indiana Pacers hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy? I would never have believed that if you told me 80 times it's going to happen. You could be Biff or Marty with the almanac, and I'd be like, you made that up. That's fake. There's no way. And they might do it. I'm not going to put it past them. I'm not going to write them off and say they have no chance at all. I don't know why we would do that. 7 straight years of 7 different champions is what we're going to have here. And I think you can make a real argument it's better for the league for the Pacers to win the title this year, given it doesn't, and I don't want to use the word dynasty, but it certainly look at that and you say, they're all coming back, they're all under contract, they've got this experience now, and who's to say that team and that group doesn't say, look, Jalen Brunson took a slight pay cut to make it work. What if we all take little pay cuts and that accumulates into having great roster depth? So I don't know. I think I'm rooting for the Pacers and the Heat and Halliburton. I think it's better for the league for them to win it because, man, that engine in Oklahoma City, it's just now revving, and I don't even know where you point to outside of an injury to say it's going to stop soon. Mm-hmm. They are an absolute juggernaut already. And so I'm just excited to see the finals. They got veteran experience. They've got a great coach in Rick Carlisle in Indiana. I think they've got the pieces in the right recipe. And Oklahoma City's still young, bigger stage now than the West Finals. But that's one of the best complete teams I've ever seen in my life, bar none, what Oklahoma City is.
Yeah, I mean, the fact they can beat you, like we've said, so many different ways. They have guys on the wing. They have size. I mean, Eugene's Isaiah Hartenstein has been, you know, an absolute. I mean, it's so funny. It was funny when you think about, like, the big moves that the Thunder made last summer. I mean, obviously the Alex Caruso trade, everybody understood that was, you know, going to absolutely, you know,
I thought that was massive.
Solidify them as a defensive, as a great
defensive
team. I
thought both those pickups were so brilliant.
But Hartenstein is not a guy, he's not an all-star, right? He's not going to make an all-defensive team. But in terms of somebody who knows how to play and gives you like an absolute like pillar, it was just so smart.
If they made all-stars for role guys, he'd be on that team.
Well, Zach Lowe does the Luke Walton all-stars.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, they are a team that have like real all-stars and Luke Walton all-stars. That's their entire team.
Yep, and one guy on there, Chet, he's like he's in that in-between.
Yeah.
You know, some games he's clearly an all-star. Other games it's like, well, he gave you 15 and 8, but man, was he a juggernaut defensively. Yeah.
And I just think like that's going to be the challenge in the West is like, can anybody over the next, you know, 6-7 years really challenge OKC and San Antonio for those top 2 spots in the West? You know, what is Denver going to do? How are they going to rebuild around Jokic? What do the Lakers look like as they build around Doncic? Because like everybody seems
Minnesota.
Like Minnesota, Dallas.
Is Memphis, you know, going to bring
it back? Is Utah going to like
not next
cash
year.
In on some of this stuff? Not next year, no. But like, I mean, the pieces in Utah are there.
They want DeBanza.
and, you know, and then say nothing of the Blazers.
Yeah.
But it's like, it feels like everybody is 3 steps behind San Antonio and the Thunder right now.
Really? You think it's that? Like, I threw this at you. If I tell you San Antonio gets Giannis, And they have Fox, Giannis, and Wemby.
Yeah.
Is that three steps? Or is that,
I'm saying San Antonio and OKC are at the top. Me looking beyond
this year.
What
about Houston getting Giannis?
Houston getting Giannis would put them in the mix.
I think they would have to, right?
They'd be there.
Yeah.
They would be, I mean, Houston with Giannis would be even a step above San Antonio at this point.
I'm excited to watch it. What do you think is going to happen?
With Giannis?
No, with Indiana and Oklahoma City.
I do think the Thunder are going to win.
It's a quick series?
I think it's like a really competitive series that doesn't last that long.
So like the Eastern Conference Finals last year between Boston and Indiana, where they blew a lead every time?
I could see it being a five-game series with great games.
Siakam edging Halliburton in the MVP.
Funny. So funny. Like the moment.
Did you see him almost step up?
The moment when Halliburton kind of points to himself, like, I'm the guy. So good.
Take that step. Siakam. Oh. And he just kind of like stops and fades back in like he's Homer Simpson going into the bush.
It's so funny.
Dude, we saw that.
I was dying because I didn't necessarily see that coming either. I assumed that was going to be Halliburton's.
To have a 15 and 14 game, to have the moment in the Garden in game one, and then he had that big three to kind of put the nail in the coffin. Siakam's fine. Siakam had a great series.
Great series. Very consistent.
But it's Halliburton.
Yeah. It's his team.
Like, why is it only nine voters?
That's why they're in the finals.
It's ridiculous.
I need to see the ballots. Who voted for who? I'm sure that's online. I want to see who among the NBA writing brethren voted for Siakam versus Halliburton.
Do you like having conference finals MVPs? It doesn't have to matter. But
I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. It's one of those things. I mean, sure.
But we just debated Halliburton, Siakam, and we care a little bit.
I think anything that helps make things matter.
I agree.
I want to feel like things matter.
That's why the IST.
And also, I think it's, winning the conference is a huge deal.
And
especially when you're the Indiana Pacers, especially when you're the Oklahoma City Thunder and you don't get there. And you don't have trophies. Teams get made fun of. The Clippers get made fun of for hanging a Pacific Division, championship.
We used to do that here.
Yeah, but it's celebrate what you got. Mm. And to me, if you can make the conference championship even that much more meaningful, not saying it should be a participation trophy or give a trophy for anything, but winning a conference championship is hard. It took a lot. And there should be some hardware for that in addition to just the team trophy. So I'm fine with an MVP. Bird MVP.
We'll get to the news that happened on Friday after our show in the NBA. Is it going to be a busy summer? We got Nick Krupke that we'll talk with as well at 8 a.m. Dirt and Sprague back with more. But first, Ortner with a sports update. All right, welcome back in. Boy, I didn't know newspaper people. Usually they're good at deadlines, and Orem has been awful with the clock. We got radio clocks. We have our own deadlines, and Orem's just like, I don't care about your deadline. You're not printing anything. I do. I don't worry about your deadline. What are you doing here?
I'm just here to have a good time.
You're just here to party.
I'm speaking when spoken to, and when you tell me it's time to rap, I rap.
The Pride of Tillamook is in today.
South Tillamook County.
What's the difference?
Tillamook is in Central Tillamook County. And then
Closer to Pacific City? Or?
Closer to Pacific City.
Oh, you're out by the farms.
Yeah, Nestucca High School.
Did you grow up on a farm?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
There's houses that don't have farms out there?
Correct.
Wow. Every time I drive out there, all I see is chickens and cows and smell crap.
People usually start with the cows, not the chickens, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the cows welcome you into Tillamook, and then the chickens will kind of wish you goodbye, is kind of how I remember that.
Yeah, if you spend any time, if you go into Pacific City or you go drive to Lincoln City on 101, you're going to go right through my turf, Beaver, Hebo, Cloverdale.
Did you like growing up there?
I don't have a frame of reference of anything else, so yeah.
I mean, you do. You lived in Montana.
Not as a kid, though. Not growing up.
Yeah, but you know who you are and what you like.
I loved growing up
In retrospect,
there.
Okay, so there you go. You loved growing up there.
Yeah.
Like, I loved growing up in Northeast Portland.
I can't imagine what it's like. I'm raising my kids in Portland.
Uh-huh.
I cannot conceptualize what it would be like to be a kid growing up in a city. Like, I grew up on dirt roads.
Touche. That's got to be a game changer. But, I drove the other day. I had to go visit the homie Mike Richmond and do a drop-off at his house. And so on my way back, I-5 was a disaster as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't want to sit in that traffic. I'm trying to get home. So I took the risk of the lights and I went up Lombard. And I'm like, I know Lombard like the back of my hand. And I got to the intersection of Lombard and MLK Jr. And my stepdad, who used to drive monster trucks, coincidentally, there was a shop there where they would go and the monster truck was there. So we went there all the time. And I told my kids about a guy that my stepdad would call Uncle Eddie, but Uncle Eddie was a drug dealer.
Nice.
So, you know, like growing up around that and kind of getting that vibe of inner city life mixed with the redneck shenanigans of whatever my stepdad was doing. It was a good combination of stuff.
We had the redneck shenanigans for sure.
You guys had that covered. Yeah. But, you know, I wouldn't want to grow up. The reverse. I wouldn't want to grow up where you grew up, I don't think.
I don't think it's a want to. It's just I can't conceptualize it.
Well, you didn't have a choice.
I mean, I guess I could conceptualize it through like reading Henry and Beezus. That was sort of my window into what a childhood in the city would be like.
I don't know if I would agree with that, but I would have loved to have been by the beach. I know I would have loved that.
It was great.
I probably would have lived at the beach, basically.
I mean, born at the beach, yep. Pelican Brewing.
You know it well.
I do.
Don't you?
I was also born at the beach.
I remember
before the original Pelican Pub was built, and that was just a parking lot.
It's funny to talk to the owners of that place mm-hmm. about the backstory of all of that, how they got into brewing, and they found the building, and why not here?
Yeah.
And now look at them.
This is the place.
They're a juggernaut. You know they got sodas coming out.
I do. I've seen them at my neighborhood grocer.
Cream soda. Cream soda, underrated, overrated?
Underrated.
Yeah, because we don't think about buying and drinking it, but when we get it, we like it.
Cream soda was always a staple in my grandmother's fridge. A&W cream soda.
And butterscotch Werther's?
Nips.
Nips? What were the nips?
It's another hard candy.
Was that the strawberry ones?
No, it's a...
My grandma had the strawberry ones.
No,
nips. All the time.
They're a little hard candy that like come in coffee flavor.
Ugh.
A lot of those.
Your grandma had coffee-flavored candy?
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
At least my grandma did strawberry. She knew what she was doing. It's like, I didn't want coffee flavor. That would have been awful.
We're also a black licorice family.
What?
Love black licorice.
You're lying.
No, it's the best flavor.
It's not,
It is. Give me anything that's flavored black licorice.
You're the only person I've ever heard say
there is
like
an entire
that.
Industry of black licorice. It wouldn't exist if I was the only person who ate it. I'll tell you one thing.
I mean, it's not a great thriving business.
As the only
do people eat black licorice at movie theaters? Do you see black vines or red vines?
I mean, black vines. It's still called red vines. There's the black ones, but. Tillamook ice cream.
You know what I mean.
I use any opportunity I can to urge Tillamook to bring back the white licorice flavor of ice cream that was only ever available in the creamery.
You're a black licorice guy?
I love black licorice.
You should be arrested.
Are you a big Jaeger fan, then?
Oh.
I was until a certain point in college.
Yeah? Good and Plenty's?
Good and Plenty's are fine.
Yeah? That's black licorice.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little. I like the fresher, like Australian soft stuff. But yeah,
it's a terrible flavor.
It's delicious.
You gotta know
put it on anything.
You gotta know you're in the minority on that take, right?
I do hear that, and I think that is. I feel like I'm getting gaslit by all of society because it's delicious.
I tell you what, next time you go to like a gathering with your friends and everybody's supposed to bring something, I want you to bring just black licorice, and I want you to tell me how much of that you're taking home.
I want it to be like a black licorice casserole.
That's so like, you are taking this in a bad direction.
Black licorice ice cream is awesome.
Where do you find that?
Various boutique creameries.
You tried really hard to sell that. Nobody's selling black licorice ice cream.
There's black licorice ice cream?
No, there's not. I refuse to believe that.
There's 100% black licorice ice cream. It's delicious.
I don't know if I ever want to work with you
again.
That's how bad that take is.
I'm a big fan of the anise flavor.
Oh, that's disgusting. We didn't get into it here.
Fennel.
Okay.
It looks so rough, dude.
This has to be I grew up on a dirt road to like that. Like, there's no other explanation.
Hey, I grew up on a dirt road, too. Hawkinson's pretty darn country.
It is pretty country.
It looks like asphalt. That's what it looks like.
It tastes like asphalt.
The ice cream looks like asphalt.
I would imagine it tastes like asphalt as well. We didn't get to it here. Is the NBA going to be absolutely insane this offseason? One NBA reporter suggesting yes. We'll talk with Nick Krupke at the top of the hour, Dirt and Sprague. We're back with Crunch Time on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Oh, indeed, it is crunch time. Brought to you by great friends at Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month with gyms all over Beaverton, Portland, Vancouver. Why work out anywhere else? Go to crunchfitness.com. Last time you lifted weights, Bill Orme, was?
Not that long ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, okay, maybe this is the black licorice talking. I have you as like a Tony Little... You know, let's do arm circles with your 5-pounders.
Wow.
Versus like dumbbells and pull ups and
I go through phases.
Okay,
like I've done my dumbbells and pull ups.
Will Ortner, you are notorious weightlifter here. You're getting svelte. You've lost the fat for the ladies. When you look at Bill Orme and you find out he likes black licorice, what kind of weightlifter is Bill Orme?
I don't like the direction of this conversation whatsoever.
Took it this way. I don't know what to tell you.
I feel like at some point, Bill, you've dabbled a little bit into CrossFit.
Yeah.
Did you get really excited about doing the kipping pull-ups and stuff like that?
Never did CrossFit.
No CrossFit. See, I could see, because now I'm starting to kind of do that a little bit. There's an allure, there's a pull of CrossFit.
A Pilates guy?
No, I had a trainer when I lived in L.A.
You did?
Yeah.
How
very,
L.A.
Very
are you?
Image conscious when did I lived in Los
Botox?
Angeles. Never had Botox. No
did
Botox.
Did you get tempted to do it?
No Botox. No, because I have great skin. Naturally great skin.
Well, I mean, it's about the wrinkles, though. It's not about the skin, per se.
But it's still smooth.
Okay. All right. Well, jeez. Yeah. All right. Don't yell at me. I got wrinkles.
When I used to get my makeup on when I did television, mm-hmm. they would always compliment my skin, so I go with that.
The new thing now is celebrities are getting new jawlines. They surgically, like, people have wondered if John Mulaney's done this, gotten, like, basically chiseled, strong jawlines.
Whose jawline would you want if you were to redo yours?
Yeah, because I kind of have a double chin at a lot of angles, even though I'm not fat.
Glenn Powell's got a good one.
Ooh.
Glenn Powell's
perfect. Got a
strong wrong answer.
One.
Now, is that, that's real. That's just genetics, right? That's just, like, good
I think
genetics.
So. TC's is pretty good, too. Chalamet? It's hard to go wrong with Chalamet.
Yeah, he's still got boyish features, though. Glenn Powell's a solid man. I don't think he could beat Glenn Powell.
He's got the chin. His chin looks like an elbow.
Oh, it's awesome. Like Glenn Powell's a little man.
Tom Cruise, too. Tom Cruise, pretty good. That's I mean, maybe not so much anymore. Well, I mean, obviously.
Come on.
You know, I digress. I will never do Botox. I just live with my wrinkles. I am what I am.
I feel that way. I think I'm the same. But I no judging. If you wanted, judging at all.
I told my wife if she wanted to do it, she could do it. She doesn't need it, but she has dabbled. She brought the idea, and I'm like, if you want to, go ahead. I don't care.
I like this conversation that you're having with your wife. Like, you don't need it, sweetie, but if you want to, you know, I support you. I'd support you in that if you want to.
But, flip this on me. You know, I'm a supportive husband, so if she wants to do it, I will support it.
But I don't think you need it, of course. I would certainly pay for it if you
look. I don't know
go.
If you know this about me. I'm pretty honest to the point where I'll get it. It gets me in trouble. And so, like, if she needed it, I'd be like, "Yeah, you should do it."
Yeah,
but she doesn't need it.
Do I need it?
I can't tell. You got a hat on. I can't see your forehead very much.
Oh, I do have some forehead wrinkles. That is true. But it's because I'm so expressive.
I always feel like that's
they're
wisdom.
They're like smile lines.
That's age and wisdom. That's what that's showing.
Let's just stick with wisdom and not the age part.
I like that. I think that's a good idea. Sham Sharania on with Pat McAfee on Friday, suggesting this. This one, Orem, craziest offseason in the NBA. Everybody going to be team building. I know, breaking news. But I am curious how the team building's going to go and who is on the move. By the way, Windhorst backed this up on his recent pod. He basically was like, all the execs I've talked to keep saying this is the summer. Now, Giannis is obviously the biggest of moves. Mm-hmm. But what we talked about earlier in patience, I just find it interesting. I'm not saying the Knicks don't need to make a move. They clearly need to do something different. But I find it interesting that, like, instantly team that gets to the Final Four, hey, blow it up. And instead of saying, like, tweak it, you know, maybe it's Bridges and then you keep everybody else. Or the report came out that they hated Cat because he didn't play defense.
Mm-hmm.
But busiest offseason, and most of the Blazer rumors are we're the third fiddle. We're the team that's going to jump in and say, hey, we'll take your draft pick that didn't hit because we'll tell our fan base he might hit here because we're used to doing that, and we'll take the second round picks.
Still waiting for Kevin Knox to pan out as a Blazer.
Nazir Little.
Yeah.
You know. Whether we draft him or we get him, we're always sold that, hey, he, you know, the potential.
He was a first round pick. This is a.
It's like having a first round pick, except it's in player form.
Noah Vonleh.
Where do you think overall is Portland going to dive in and surprise us here? Because they're telling us this team's it. This team can do it. And I said this before: if you truly are buying what you're selling us, like truly, I know they're not going to do it. You should trade the 11th pick. You should be eyeing trading the 11th. If you're as good as you're claiming you are, then you're telling me you should get some stuff for the 11th pick and take that step. Because the 11th pick might be a good player and ain't going to be a good player for about 2.5 years.
I think it depends on what you're getting. I think they're open to trading the pick. I don't think that that's something they've ruled
really?
Out. I have no indication that they've ruled that out.
Here's my only indication, okay? Now, I have no sourcing on this. This is my indication. How many times in the short Cronin era have we heard the term rookie scale contracts?
Well, first of all, that's important. But second,
made that abundantly
clear. They traded the 12 or 13, whatever, the 14? What was the pick they traded Washington
last
year?
Maybe the worst draft in 12 years.
Yeah, that became a good player, though. Bub Carrington's a good player.
Bub Carrington is a good player. And we think Donovan Clingan might become a better player, but had an okay, I think, good start rookie season.
Yeah. But, like, if I'm the Blazers, I'm fine with them. I want them drafting the picks because I want them to hit on somebody because they still, like we talked about, don't have that center of gravity player. And like, I know that they want to sell that they think that they do, or like, I think the big Cronin line has been, I wouldn't put a cap on any of these guys. I wouldn't put a ceiling on them. It could be Shaden. It could be Scoot. It could be Advia. You know, I think chances are, you know, like Denny Advia is still a great wingman. Like that's what he's going to be in the NBA. Like he to me is a third, maybe second best player on a really, really good team.
I think if you're talking title contender, I don't want to say title team because, like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I think he's a third. Yeah. I think he's a very good third. After that, like, Tamani obviously is a very good piece. I'd be interested to see if it's such a busy summer the way all the pundits are saying it's going to be. Is Portland going to sneak up? And the other indication, I have no indication. I think you're overall, you could be right. The guy that I think is making most of the talent and, you know, talent evaluations and decisions here, because I think that front office is working in different parts.
Mm-hmm.
Cronin's a big numbers guy. If you told me Mike Schmitz is making most of the roster, you know, talent decisions, I wouldn't be stunned by that. And I think if you're a Mike Schmitz Don't you get excited about having the 11th pick because you think you're going to find that diamond in the rough?
Yeah, but I also would say that I don't think the Blazers have done that in their drafts the last few years. Mm. I mean, do you think the Blazers have drafted well?
Well, we don't have evidence that they actually have their two players they can tout are trades.
Right. They were picked by other teams. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I kind of forgive the Scoot pick because everybody would have taken Scoot there. But it is your job to know, like, is he the guy or is it Amen Thompson?
Right.
And, like, the Blazers were really high on Amen Thompson. And so, you know, again, I don't begrudge them for that because anybody would have made that pick. But that's a miss. Mm. Shaedon Sharpe hasn't hit yet. Donovan Klingon probably has a bit more of a ceiling than some of these other guys. Now, I like Klingon. I think he's going to be a really good defensive player. Is he the starting center long term? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but he's a solid player in a draft that like had a lot of landmines. I think they did a good job of at least picking out a player who's going to contribute. But yeah. Other than that, like you look at like
Murray,
Chris Murray, mm-hmm. No. Ryan Rupert, no.
Boy, people are still trying to sell us on Ryan Rupert, and I'm just like, based on what?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got some talent. Like he's raw. Like you can sort of see some of like the tools.
It's year three for him, isn't it?
It's going into year three.
You can't get into 3-4 and be like, oh, dude, he's only I don't care what his age is. Yeah. You can
play or you can't play. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. Sham Charania and Brian Windhorst both saying it's going to be an overly busy summer. Execs all around the league. Team building is going to be very interesting.
But that's going to be teams that are like trying to get off of money and trying to reconfigure their rosters.
Or teams telling themselves they can be better.
But like, where do the Blazers participate other than like this third wheel type stuff? Because our team's going to be coming in and wanting to acquire the players the Blazers want to trade.
I mean, make a ballsy move.
Outside of Anthony Simons, maybe, because he has an expiring contract. But is anybody coming in and making an offer for DeAndre Ayton? I don't see that.
They were tweeting Jeremy some Grant, celebratory things about DeAndre yesterday. I was like, oh, why would you tweet that if you're going to trade him?
Well, my indication that they weren't going to trade Robert Williams at the trade deadline was when, on like 2 days before the trade deadline, they put an Instagram post out that was like their Rooted in Rip City series. Yeah. And it was about Robert Williams, Rooted in Rip City, 2 days before the trade deadline. I guess he's not going.
I'd like to see them be aggressive.
Sure.
But it, you know, it's really not in their nature so far.
They're in position. I think that they are in a position where the way their contracts are lined up, they have the flexibility to get involved with some stuff.
Agree. I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, they have expiring contracts, which are valuable, especially with, you know, the aprons and the what essentially functions as a hard cap now.
Right.
You know, I think the problem is that the players that other teams are going to want to acquire are probably the players they most desperately do not want to trade. Like they do not want to, the guys with value on their team are Denny and Tumani Kamara. And I do not think the Blazers are going to be moved off of not wanting to trade those two guys.
We have a loaded second hour of the program. Nick Krupke is going to join us. The Daily Ticker is right around the corner. This is Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 a month. Why work out anywhere else? Visit them online at crunchfitness.com. Final hour, kick it off. Nick Krupke, Media Man of the Year. Loaded final hour, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro.
we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.